Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Christopher Thornton. You can find my work on Twitter at MistoCristofo, as well as at the Locked On Jaguars website at LockedOnJaguars.com. I am joined by a new, I'll say temporary co-host, because Zach is in fact dying once again from an illness. It's a new one every week, it seems. So I have brought a fellow and loyal member of Jaguars Twitter by the handle name of It's Javal. It's Javal Brooks. Javal, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Chris. Just trying to absorb the loss. Hopefully you can just move on. But I'm happy that I finally get to be on Locked On. I feel a little famous right now, just a little bit.
Don't get too starstruck, because we have a lot to break down. The Jaguars went into Missouri, Kansas City today, and they did not perform well. They were dominated by the Chiefs almost the entire game. Score shows it a little closer than what it was. The Chiefs beat the Jaguars by a score of 30-14. Just going over some quick stats. Blake Bortles, 33 for 61 attempts, threw the ball 61 times for 430 yards, one touchdown, and four interceptions. I believe I saw a stat that Blake Bortles is the first quarterback to ever throw for 400-plus yards and have a quarterback rating under 55. So if that isn't kind of a pretty accurate summary of what happened today, then I don't know what is.
I mean, this game was just, this was like the 2015 Bortles, like at its finest, just the turnovers. I mean, some garbage time yardage, like I thought it was about to be a comeback, and then we had it, and then interception. This was just like bad O-line play. This just screamed like 2015, like the garbage time year.
Yeah, I mean, offense starts the game off, goes basically three and out, punts it. Patrick Mahomes and the offense march right down, score a touchdown. I'm like, oh no, this is kind of how this day is going to go. And it just kind of, the Chiefs didn't really pull away much, but that you could tell they were just dominating on both sides of the ball. The Chiefs defense came to play. They were stifling the Jaguars offense. The offense really couldn't do anything. So I mean, that if just everybody was coming in here super confident that the Chiefs defense were going to let up a lot of yards. I, on the other hand, I thought the Chiefs defense, although statistically the worst in the league, have some guys like D Ford who, if when playing well, can really wreak havoc on an offense, and he did that today.
I mean, I remember the last time I played the Chiefs in Kansas City, D Ford, I remember he had like a day. We didn't face Houston, but just, I mean, man, you were right though. I mean, D Ford, he made Parnell. Parnell was D Ford's son today. He beat him like a drum. It was just, and I mean, I feel like Kansas City's secondary is vulnerable down the field. So I commend Todd Walsh for trying to take some shots, but when it wasn't working, he just tried to keep going back to it. And then the more time you give D Ford against Parnell, just the worse it was for Parnell.
Yeah, and I mean, the O-line going into this game had been pretty good, but today I'd probably give them like a D or an F. Bortles had almost no time to throw back there today, and Hackett wanted to take shots downfield, and he did. And we saw more shots taken today than we did in the Titans game, and we obviously saw some last week, but they just couldn't connect because Bortles had to get that ball out so fast because the O-line wasn't giving him the protection it needs. Go ahead.
I will say one thing, though. Chark week, you finally saw him down the field, which is great. Like that, I think it was versus Steven Nelson, I think it was number 20, and he like Blake threw a perfect ball, like it was in stride right in the bucket, and like that was good coverage too. And I'm thinking, okay, we can expose him down the field vertically, but we just didn't get that much time to really throw the ball down, which, I mean, if we had a little bit more time, maybe the game's different. But at the very least, we saw a Darrell Chark sighting, so that's always great to see.
Yeah, and I mean, it just seems like they keep trying to force feed Dante Moncrief into the role that really I think Chark could excel in. I mean, Moncrief, they kept doing those downward shots, and I just don't think Moncrief's fast enough to do that. And I think Chark has that speed to where you can kind of go a little bit more over the top than Moncrief. And I think there was two plays where Blake took a shot to Moncrief. There was back-to-back plays, and Moncrief had no help over the top. So if he were able to separate, that's touchdown, and he just couldn't do it. And I think if you had a guy like Keelan Cole or Dede Westbrook or DJ Chark, I think those plays hit. And I think we're going to slowly see a shift because it seemed like they really tried getting Chark into the game more this week than we had in the past. And that's what I predicted at the beginning of the season when I said Chark would have his 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. I said probably towards the middle of the season is when I think we'll kind of see Chark really get implemented, just kind of like Keelan Cole did last year. And just take those shots to your second round rookie. I mean, that guy, the kid has talent, so might as well kind of incorporate him into your game and just kind of see if he can excel with it.
I mean, yeah, I was a little bit surprised to see Chark, because I figured like he would just get like some deep catches every now and then, but wouldn't be a main factor. But, and I mean, to your point, like, I think Moncrief has solid speed. I think he ran like close to like a 4.45. Like he has good enough speed to burn someone deep. We saw that last week versus Jermaine Johnson. But I mean, between Chark, who ran a 4.32, Westbrook, who ran like a 4.38 around like at his pro day, and I mean Cole, we know he can fly. I'm most surprised taking deep shots to Moncrief, who, I mean, who can burn you deep, but I think he's better as like a red zone, like physical guy. That's what I thought he would be. So I'm a little bit surprised by Hackett. I mean, he did get open sometimes, but I feel like if you put Chark or even Cole, I'm a little surprised we didn't really see Keelan Cole down the field that much this season. We haven't really seen him be used as a deep threat. I think just him, like Cole or Chark, they're going to connect on some of those deep plays down the field. And when they do, man, it's going to be a sight to see. But hopefully we can stop using Moncrief. I mean, I think he is what he is as a deep threat. He'll make some plays, but he's not consistent. I mean, you drafted Chark for a reason. He has a gigantic radius. Kind of reminds me of Martavis Bryant, just a huge frame, but also great speed too. So if he just gets going down the field deep, I mean, it's hard to stop. But, man, I'm still just mad at some of those shots.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. And then kind of shifting over to the running side of the ball, the Jaguars likely have lost Corey Grant for the year with a foot injury. Rappaport coming out after the game saying that that likely will be the case. So the Jaguars are probably going to be in the market for a running back. And we know that they worked out at Orleans Darkwa this past week, that some people speculate maybe they're going to sign him as insurance for Fournette. And now you have Fournette out for an undefined time, and now you have Corey Grant out for the year. You're left with Brandon Wilds and TJ Yeldon. You're going to have to bring somebody into the room. And Yeldon, I thought, was running decently well today, and they just didn't seem to feed him the ball. Only had 10 carries for 53 yards today. And there was one drive where he was just kind of gashing at the Chiefs, and then they just stopped when they got into the red zone, and it ended up leading to an interception. So I don't know what it is with Hackett where when something's working, he kind of just gets away from it. But, I mean, TJ Yeldon, 53 yards in the day, that doesn't really show kind of what he did today. He had 69 yards through the air, so over 100 yards for Yeldon total yards. But I don't know. I mean, just kind of give me your thoughts on losing Corey Grant for the year and then how you felt that Yeldon did today.
I mean, losing Grant is a big blow just because I feel like with Grant, like, speed matters at every position. And I mean, Grant, we see what he can do when he's correctly against the Patriots both games. He can just get into the flat, make people miss. So, and also special teams. I don't think he played kick returner as much, but I remember he played kick returner. So it's a special teams blow. You're going to have to fill a void for like the scat back. Hopefully when we get Fournette back, we can use Yeldon more. And I think Yeldon has actually been playing really well this season. This is probably his best year so far. And you were right. Like, it was frustrating to see that we get into I think it was sometime in the second quarter. We get into it was like 3rd and 2. We have Yeldon, who got us to that point, right? He was gashing the Chiefs, and we passed twice. And it was a turnover on downs, I think. And it was just frustrating because, like, we got them right where we want them. And I don't blame them for going for it on 4th and down. But, like, if you're never going to go for it, try to, like, gain yardage. Like, It was just frustrating to see. I mean, like, it wasn't even a bad play call. Like, Safarian Jenkins got open, but I think Armani Watts just had a nice play to break it up. Mm-hmm. So I felt like they say, hey, Yeldon, we're going to use you. And then when we're in the red zone, we're just not going to use you. It was very frustrating. That was the main complaint with Hackett, like this main game, Hackett this game. He just, I feel like every time, like, Yeldon did a nice play, he would just try to, like, air it out too much. Like, because Yeldon was legitimately, like Romo was saying it a lot, like, the Chiefs' weakness is, like, tackling. They're not the best tacklers. We saw it last week when Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay both gashed them up. And I thought, like, the key to winning this game was going to be, like, running it out, controlling the tempo, and making sure that the Chiefs' offense doesn't have too much possessions. And we were running the ball well, but we just decided, hey, you know, third and goal, let's throw for it. And it came back to just bite us. Like, that was, I think that was a real turning point, was the fact that when we didn't get that touchdown, it was third, and when it was fourth and two and we turned it over on downs, that was like the real turning point. Because if we get at least a field goal, then the game's still in reach. But after that, like, the momentum just shifted hugely. And, like, I don't blame them for going for it. I just hate the play call. Like, mm-hmm. Yeldon, like, use what you got there with. Yeldon got you to the red zone. Use him. Or even, like, a Corey Grant sweep or something. Just, like, run the football in that situation. So, and as for free agent running backs, I mean, the possibility of Orleans Darkwa has been mentioned a lot. I mean, I think he can be a solid, if, like, nothing crazy, but he can, like, bang between the tackles better than Yeldon a little bit more. I remember he had, like, a big run against the Redskins his last game of the season last year with the Giants. Mm-hmm. So he has a little big playability. I think he can hold the tide over. We'll see. I mean, just with the running back position, I find it very hard to believe that we won't sign a running back. Probably going to be Darkwa. I mean, maybe a guy like Mike Gillisley. He flashed in Buffalo, then didn't really fit with the Patriots or the Saints. I can't think of any other, like, free agent running backs that are dynamic. And, oh yeah, I just saw a Rappaport tweet that Corey Frank suffered a season-ending Lisfranc injury mm-hmm. today's
Lisfranc
game.
Lisfranc injury, yep, he's heading to IR. So,
I mean, I can't think of any running backs that are, like, that can help us in a great way. I mean, Le'Veon Bell.
That's something. And actually, we could talk about that when we come back from this break. We'll kind of talk over what the Jaguars can do at this running back position after these short messages. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON and add 25 at the end of it. If it's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. All right, so Corey Grant's out for the year. Leonard Fournette, we have no idea when he's coming back. What do we have? What are our options? We know they worked out Orleans Darkwa. That's probably an inevitable signing. Mike Gillisley, like you said, could be a very good option. But maybe the Jaguars go outside the box. Maybe they trade for a guy. I don't see them trading too much for a guy because they do seem committed to Leonard Fournette. But whether it be you commit to a better running back or maybe you commit to somebody that or offensive line help, maybe it's probably a left tackle replacement because there's a bunch of teams that seem to have guys that would although Wells statistically is playing well, I think you can upgrade and help at the position. But I really think running back will be the thing that they focus on. But what do you think? What do you think they should do and what do you think they will do?
I think when Fournette's healthy, that Fournette's the guy. I think trading for someone like Le'Veon Bell is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, great talent, obviously. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's a baller. He's like the banging style of Fournette a little bit with the catching of Yeldon, but I don't see it happening. Plus, he's also very expensive. So
the only way I would see Bell is if because the Steelers wanted a player of significant value and a second round pick. The only way I would see it is if they were able to, if they somehow traded Fournette and then they asked for a pick back, so Fournette, and then they receive a third back or something. I obviously don't think the Jaguars would ever do that, but that's the only way I could see a scenario where Le'Veon Bell is a Jaguar. And probably they would only do it if the Steelers rescinded the franchise tag for Le'Veon Bell so they could extend him long term if they wanted to do that. But that's just almost never going to happen. I don't think that happens for them. I don't think it really moves the needle a whole lot. But Le'Veon Bell obviously said that he'll report in week 7. But I think at this point, that's just a pipe dream.
Yeah, I mean, like the Le'Veon Bell talks, I mean, it's fun to think about it, what he would do behind our O-line, and he'd receive all the checkdowns in the world. But I think it's more likely that we'd go out and sign just like a free agent running back. I'm trying to think of names off the top of my head. Probably like a bruiser back, like a Terrence West maybe. There's not a ton of great guys. We did work out Jeremy Langford, formerly of the Chicago Bears, I think a couple weeks back. So that's an option. He was decent, had a couple big games in 2015, but then got phased out when Jordan Howard came. So Jeremy Langford, possibly an option. I think the smart thing to do is just kind of wait it out, get like a veteran, some guy you can give like 10, 12 carries, split with Yeldon, because Yeldon is playing relatively well. He's not like fantastic, but he could be a little better as a rusher, but mm-hmm. All things considered, like especially like with O-line, like having some injuries, it's playing well. So I think we don't need to sign like a guy to dominate all the carries because mm-hmm. Yeldon is playing well, but if he could even get just like somebody to hold it down, I'd really do like Mike Gillisley could be decent. Terrence West, maybe Langford, one of those guys, somebody to just Toby Gerhardt, that's an option. if we could just get one of those guys to get like 10 carries, split with Yeldon, and just say hey, get some goal line work, just some tough carries up the middle, that might be fine. I think that's just the smart thing to do.
We could see them maybe bring back guys that they had in the preseason and training camp. I'm trying to think of names, but there's a few running backs that they had that they like. Tim Cook, guy Tim like Cook, that.
Yeah.
We might see him brought back at least to the practice squad. But I think what you're saying is I think they will end up committing to Yeldon being the guy. In all honesty, I think the last probably season, if you count the end of the second half of last season and the first half of this season, I think Yeldon has maybe earned himself a contract here in Jacksonville. If not, then I think if he hits the market, I think he's going to have a decent market because Yeldon is proving to be that back. Maybe not as the back that they want, that they drafted in the second round, but he's showing good value. Definitely fits that mold and breed of pass catching backs in this league that can also run between the tackles, something that he definitely has improved since his rookie year. So whether it be as a Jaguar or another team, I think Yeldon's definitely kind of risen his stock for free agency.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, I think Yeldon is growing into one of the better third down backs who can also contribute on first and second down. I'm not saying he's a superstar by any means, but I think a team that doesn't have a great backfield, maybe like Tampa, I mean, with their backfield being up in the air, because Yeldon has shown that he can guard the backfield, had a touchdown catch over Reggie Ragland, just ran a real route, ran right past him. So he can catch. I think he has like four receiving touchdowns. He has like three or four receiving touchdowns. Well, a couple of rushing touchdowns as well. So he can do it through the air and through the ground. So I'm thinking like a fourth or fifth round comp pick back in return. I think he will. I mean, could we re-sign him maybe on like a two-year deal until Fournette gets his mega contract or however much you pay Fournette? But I wouldn't be opposed to signing Yeldon. I think he has earned a spot as a guy who can fill in for when Fournette gets hurt because, I mean, with hamstrings, who knows? He can catch, solid pass protector. So I would be happy to have Fournette back. I mean, to have Yeldon back. Well, I want Fournette back too, but
at this rate, I don't think Fournette is beyond his rookie contract unless he can somehow become magically healthy for the rest of his contract here. But I think honestly, in free agency, Yeldon will be the Le'Veon Bell consolation prize. Whoever misses out on Le'Veon Bell will probably be the second guy that signs the lesser money. But kind of like when I'm trying to think in free agency. Oh, it was not Malcolm Butler. It was Logan Ryan and A.J. Bouye. You had Bouye as the premier, and then you had Logan Ryan as the consolation. And I think if the Jaguars didn't get A.J. Bouye, I think Logan Ryan would have been a Jaguar. So the Titans and Jags were the two that were targeting Bouye and Ryan. And obviously we got Bouye and they got Ryan. So I think that's how it's kind of going to shake out for Le'Veon Bell if he does end up leaving Pittsburgh and T.J. Yeldon. If you don't get Le'Veon Bell, you get a guy in Yeldon who will be probably a lot cheaper, but can, I won't say produce at the same level because Le'Veon's a superstar, but will be able to give you probably an upgrade over what you currently have.
Yeah, I'm thinking a team maybe like the Colts or just like a running back needy team, Tampa, just a place like that would definitely be interested in getting him. It would suck to see TJ in a Colts jersey. I'd be happy that he gets paid and he gets to catch passes from Luck, but like at the same time, I would hurt. Like, go to the Jets. The Jets could use you. Or
the Jets have a lot of money.
The Raiders. I mean, I don't know. Someplace not other the Raiders.
I don't want to see his career die. You know, I think it'd be, although they have Matt Breida and they have Jerick McKinnon who'll be coming back next year, I think TJ Yeldon with Shanahan would be fun out there.
He'd be deadly. Imagine like a Breida. And imagine a McKinnon, Yeldon dual running back set, like how they use Coleman and Freeman in Atlanta.
Or even if San Francisco wanted to, like you have Todd Gurley and TJ Yeldon.
You mean LA?
Or LA, I meant, sorry. I think that'd be a pretty fun combo. I don't think they would do it because Gurley can kind of do it all already. But maybe if Yeldon doesn't have a market like we think he would, he could go out to LA and blow it up out there. But that's just kind of the running back situation for the Jags right now. Well, obviously, I'm sure this week, probably tomorrow or Tuesday, we'll get news. That way they can, whatever guy they sign can get acclimated.
Like Gerhardt.
I think everything's leaning Gerhardt or Darkwa. Especially if you, because you want to have that as much practice time as you can for these guys. And they worked out Darkwa last week, so they probably have an idea on if they like him or not. They've worked him out several times before, so obviously he's offering something that keeps them intrigued enough to bring him back. So I think if I had to put my money on something, I would probably put that Orleans Darkwa is a Jaguar by the end of the week.
So if you suck in fantasy and you don't need a running back, pick up Orleans Darkwa now before you anyone else can.
I had him on I already picked him up in our fantasy league, so.
But didn't you drop him though?
I dropped him and then I'll bring him back because I wasn't expecting Corey Grant. I didn't think they would sign a running back if Corey Grant and TJ Yeldon were healthy, but now that Grant's gone, I'll be putting that waiver claim in as soon as I can.
I mean, I have a lower record, so I can get him if I want to, but that's not the point.
we'll see. That's for another discussion, but I think that'll just about do it for this game recap. I mean, it's obviously not a win, so we're not super excited. Going over some stats, just some quick finishing stats. Yannick Ngakoue had another sack, so he's at 2 on the year. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, he threw his first 2 interceptions of the year against us this year. So,
not 1, but 2.
We were the first team to pick off Mahomes, and we did it not once, but twice. Gibson with a beautiful interception. AJ Bouye at the end of the game. I can tell you I didn't watch probably half of the last quarter because I had to go to work, so I can't really kind of tell you how that happened or how – if it was a good pick or not. But anyway, the interception happened. Mahomes went 22 for 38 for 313 yards and 2 picks. So the Jags streak that went into last year for not letting up a 300-yard passer is over. It ends with Patrick Mahomes and the 5-0 Chiefs. The Jaguars are now 3-2. The Titans also lost to the Bills, so thank you, Bills Mafia, for finishing them off. The Jaguars still remain tied for second in the AFC, or tied for first in the AFC South. Still behind the Titans, obviously, due to tiebreaker. Yep. And Travis Kelce is the leading Chiefs receiver, 5 receptions for 100 yards flat. And, yeah, that's, I mean, like I said, it wasn't a pretty game for the Jaguars by any means. Not really a whole lot of positives to look at, but... be sure to subscribe to the Locked On Jaguars podcast on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher FM, or Megaphone FM, Stitcher. Really anywhere you can find podcasts, we're probably on there. You can even use your Amazon or Google devices, and you can say, hey, Echo, or whatever. I don't want to say mine because it'll end up playing in my background. But you can say that and say, play the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and it will. Follow myself on Twitter, at Misto Cristofo, and the Locked On Jaguars page, at Locked On Jaguars, as well as my co-host tonight on That's Twitter, me. At It's Javal. There's no spaces or underscores, right? It's just at It's Javal. Wait,
it's Javal. It's J-A-V-A-L underscore. Oh, wait, no, there's no underscore. Yeah, just...
Okay, so yeah, at Javal. He'll be linked in the post if you see it on Twitter. I'll be sure to put the at in the description on this episode so you can follow him. Javal's always putting out funny tweets, so if you want a good laugh on the timeline, be sure to follow Javal. Again, it's at It's Javal. Be sure to listen to our episodes for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we'll have one out tomorrow, the next day.
One thing, Tyreek Hill, good job by Ramsey. Two things. Defense did a good job overall. Last thing, we were uneven at the start of the year, like a win-loss. So, Jags fans, don't be too upset. We lost one of the best teams in the league. Couldn't play better, but we're like, what, 7-1 after a loss in the Marone era? So, don't be too concerned. And Duval!
All right. Duval!